We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Try the Spirits. And it's from 1 John chapter 4. If you'd turn there, they'll put it on the screen for us. 1 John 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4 and 1. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That word try means test or examine. Examine the spirits. Try the spirits. To what end? Whether they're of God, we'd say, or not. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. And so he's saying that there's individuals that are influenced by wrong spirits. This is a reality that many have just either not heard or they ignored when they heard it. If you believe the Bible, and we do completely, much as we know, it's not like any other book. It reveals that there is a whole dimension other than the material that is an unseen realm. Now, if you've read the scriptures much at all, you've come across this. And how that there is a realm of spirits. And the truth is, you are a spirit. You're not just a body. Your body is the vessel, or the Bible calls it a tabernacle, it calls it a house. Your body is not you. Your body is the vessel you are in. And you're looking at me right now through those two windows we call eyes. I mean, if you just look at the construction of an eye, the eye is not what's seeing. It's like a camera lens. Well, actually, the camera lens was designed after the eye. It's just receiving the image, but where's the image going to? What is actually seeing the image? You. Spirit. And the Bible says that God is spirit. And that he is the father of spirits. And that's why that, you know, this physical life, this material existence, is not your whole existence. In fact, it is the shortest thing you and I will ever do. The Bible said your entire physical life on earth is like a morning mist. It's a mist. And he said all flesh is as grass. It's like a blade of grass that springs up and ends withers and gone. That's your body. That's your flesh. That's not you. And the Bible says for us believers, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is not. The inward man is renewed day by day. This is every day a complete renewal to the point where we are not aging inside.
Amen.
And we never will.
Amen.
And one of these days, this body is going to be changed.
Amen.
And it will be able to keep up with our inner being.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it will never grow old. It will not be weary. It will not have pain. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So if you can just keep it together a little bit longer and finish up your course down here, after this, it's smooth sailing, brother. I mean, it's easy street. But We're not the only spirits around. God is spirit. The Holy Spirit is obviously spirit. The holy angels are spirits. And they're here today, this morning. Can't see them, but they're here. Don't push to try to see them. That can be a mistake. God requires us at this time to walk by faith,
amen,
not by sight. And if you push too hard trying to see into the realm of the spirit, wrong spirits can accommodate you. You don't want to do that. And yet, God also, at times, in some situations, He allows insight into the realm of spirits, especially with some ministries. And this is called, in the scripture, the discernings of spirits. Discern literally means to see. And the prophets of old were called seers, because they'd see in and hear into the realm of the spirit. Now there are some people who claim to see. But again, try the spirits, right? Is it God or not? And there are some people that have seen some things. They really did. But it wasn't God. Huh? And then there's some folks that really did see something that was of God. So how am I to know what's what? Glad you want to know. That's why we're having the series, right? That's why we're talking about it. Everybody say, try the spirits.
Try the spirits.
Test them.
Examine them.
Now, Romans 12, if you'd put up on the screen, Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To what result? So that you can prove. Now, does that sound kind of like our other verse? Test, examine, prove. So you can prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can know what is God.
Yes.
Are you going to know automatically?
No.
You need to cooperate with the Lord, and there needs to be some transformation going on by the renewing of our mind. Now, last week we talked about that the mind is the battleground. That's where it is. People have gotten sidetracked on a number of things, but that's where the conflict happens. And there are wrong spirits, a lot of them, in this world, in this realm. You can't see them, but they're endeavoring to influence. That's their whole thing. They are disembodied spirits. They are from another age, from another time. And you know, it's obvious that there were other times on planet Earth. There was a time when there was dinosaurs. That was before our time. And so we don't know what has happened prior to that. Or prior to that. But these beings came from somewhere. Another time. Another whatever. But now they're disembodied. They don't have bodies anymore. And so they seek expression. They want to say things. They want to do things. But they can't in our realm unless somebody will volunteer, ignorantly or knowingly, volunteer their mind to think their thoughts, their mouth to say their words, their hands, their body to do their desires. And you don't have to have discerning of spirits to recognize what influence it is. Evil spirits influence people to do evil things. The Holy Spirit, He'll influence you to do holy things. Right? The good Spirit influence you to do good things. Now don't let this be too simple for you. We already know more than we realize. Because we've been dealing with these things and seeing these things our entire life. But so many times just haven't put two and two together as to where that was coming from or why it happened that way. But did the scripture tell us, try the spirits,
yes,
test them, examine them what? To know whether they're of God or not. Romans 12:2, he starts off by saying, be not conformed. This the understood subject is you. You are not to be conformed to this world, but you are to be transformed. Now these two words are obviously very significant. Conformed, transformed. This word conform, if you look up the words, it has to do with being pressed into a mold. Pressed into a mold. We talk about things like this all the time, like peer pressure. You heard that phrase? Peer pressure. Well, that is a perfect example of evil influence. And it's why the scripture warns us about wrong associations. Huh? Why? Because if you hang with people that are yielding the wrong things, then they're going to push you to yield to the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Evil communications,
yes,
corrupt good manners, mm-hmm, are good ways of living, the scripture said. And it matters. I know a friend of mine, this was decades ago. He was what you would consider a hopeless drug addict. I mean, he was hard drugs, and they had already damaged his brain. And he was already diminished. And he was just living for the next fix. And involved, you know, to support his habit, involved in drug trafficking and that kind of thing. And a pastor met him on the street and led him to the Lord. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And over the next months and couple of years, he got clean. He stayed clean. He stayed in church. He wound up going to Bible school, met a wonderful woman, got married, started a church. That church just celebrated 40 years. And he's sharp. Well, he's been a pastor for 40 years. I mean, has to have some cognitive ability.
Amen.
God restored him.
Yes.
And I asked him one time, I said, what helped you? What would you say some of the biggest things that helped you not only to get out, but to stay clean? He said, I had to stay away from my former friends.
Yep.
He said that was one of the big things. I could not, he said, I tried to go around them and witness to them, and they didn't want to hear it. And of course, all they live for is what? The next high, right? That's on their mind night and day, and willing to do anything to get it. And he said, I realized right away, I cannot be around these people. They were his only friends up to that point. But he realized, if I stay here, I will slide back into this. Now why? What's our subject? try the spirits. Why would he slide back into it? Because those spirits are pushing them. And this is also why the enemy pushes so hard chemical addiction. Because what do people say about, oh, you need to, you know, drink up and loosen up. Well, what does that mean? Loosen up. Loosen up to what? Right? And you get high and you get a little drunk and your inhibitions, huh, begin to come down. And what? To who? Can you see what the enemy's trying to do? He wants you so out of it that you're not even at the steering wheel anymore. Wrong spirits are driving you, and you wake up the next day and don't even realize what you did. Well, who was driving? Who was? And it wasn't good things that happened. Beware, child of God. So-called recreational drugs. Light drugs. Beware. Beware. Social drinking. Beware. One thing leads to another. Right? The enemy is doing his best to influence you, to get you to a place where you are yielding more and more to something wrong and don't even realize it until you are in a mess. I know when I was in healing school at Brother Hagin's ministry, we had every day, Monday through Friday, classes just for those that were seeking healing. And people would come from all over the country, all over the world. And one week, we had, actually he was there for a couple of weeks, I guess, we had a prominent surgeon. Let's see, I'm getting too mixed up now. This was the lawyer. This was the lawyer. And we had several situations there in those years. But this man had been a part of a very big, successful law firm. I think he was a partner. But his drinking, he had begun to drink so much, he had ruined his marriage, ruined his relationship with his kids. They finally fired him from his practice. How many know these things can absolutely destroy you? And so he was there with a physical thing, and of course that addiction thing. And when we had a laying on of hands on Thursday, and I was laying hands on the people, and I got to him. And when I laid hands on him, I just sensed that there was something that needed to be broken. And I commanded it to be broken in the name of Jesus and come off of him. Later he told me, he said, it felt like a band just popped off of me. But I hadn't done this. I don't know when I had done this before or since. I looked at him. He was shouting. Tears were coming down his face. And I said, look at me. Look at me. He said, huh? I said, look at me. Look at me. I said, do you know the story of Joseph? I said, how that Joseph was sold to Potiphar. And after being in Potiphar's house for a while, Potiphar's wife got to eyeing him and hitting on him and trying to seduce him. And I said, it got to a place where he was in the house and she had sent everybody away and she had plans and she began to try to influence him. Come on, are y'all listening or not? Influence him. He jumped up and he ran out of that place. Oh, come on, are y'all with me? He ran out of that place. He ran out of his jacket. Is that right? She grabbed a hold of his jacket and turned around and she's holding the empty jacket and he's gone and there's just a little dust trail where his feet were. How many know it gets time where I can't talk? Is that right? Ain't no time to talk. It's time to get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. And so he did. And he didn't fall in that situation. I said, this is you. I said, this is you. Whatever it is that has been your problem, I said, stay away from it. Don't get around it. If you are tempted to do anything with it, get up, run. I said, are you listening to me? He said, I said, run. I pushed him again. I said, run. I found out a year and a half later why. He left. He was one of the happiest guys you ever saw in your life. You know, when the Lord has set you free. Again, you don't have to know something is of the devil to see the torment and the vexation and the anguish that people are going through. That ain't God. That's the enemy. And so I had gotten word from him. Oh, this would have been 6 months to a year after that. He sent a letter to the ministry and how that his wife forgave him. They had been restored. His daughters forgave him. They had been restored. His former partners at the law firm had him come back in. Is God good or is God good? He's the God of restoration. He will restore you. And I guess it was a year and a half or so after that, I heard words. Somebody said, did you hear about so-and-so? I said, no, what? They said, he's nearly dead. I said, what? Because last I heard, he's doing wonderful. He's delivered. And they said, yeah. And this person knew a little bit about the situation. They said he was, he met a client at a bar place. And they were drinking, of course, social drinking. In those circles, it was big. And he decided to have a drink. See, what did the Lord tell him? What did the Lord tell him? That wasn't just me talking to him. Huh? What did the Lord say to him? Run. I mean, I yelled at him. I yelled at him and I shook him. Can you see why now? Because the Lord knew. He knew what was coming up. So next thing you know, and I'm just telling you from my perspective, he's in a place where these wrong spirits are. Can you see that? And where people are yielding to wrong things. And he's on their turf. He's in their environment. He took a drink. One led to three. Led to I don't know how many. Got drunk. He got so drunk, he blacked out, had a stroke, was in a wheelchair. Never was right after that. Not too many months after that, died. He's saved. But what did the Lord tell him?
Run.
Can you play with these things? Especially when you've been delivered. When the Lord has delivered you from something, do not go back to it, because it can be way worse than it was before. Before, maybe you didn't know any better and the Lord had mercy. But now, if you willingly go back and invite it back in, oh man, it can destroy you. The Lord doesn't control us. He tells us, he asks us and encourages us to yield to the Spirit. Right? Well, that's what these wrong spirits are trying to get you to do. They don't come obviously. They come thoughts and feelings and suggestions and temptations. And you can tell, sometimes it's so obvious if we would just open our eyes, when something comes to you 85 times in an afternoon. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Just the thought just keeps coming. That's not normal. That's not right. There's a spirit involved. Pushing you, trying to push you to conform you to itself. and to everybody in the world that's yielding to this, trying to push you into the same ungodly mold that all the unsaved are in. Why? Because these people are yielding to these spirits, giving them voice, giving them expression, and that's what they want. And we must resist. Oh, somebody say resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. These spirits, one thing you got to know now, these spirits cannot make you do something against your will. They cannot, because greater is he that's in you than that. They cannot. But now they're crafty, they're tricky, and they're persistent, and they will just keep on. And if you listen, they can talk you into stuff if you let them. Somebody say, I refuse to let them. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said, as we behold, like in a mirror, the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, we take on the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. As you yield to a wrong spirit, you take on the characteristics of the evil spirit. What does a lying spirit push people to do? Lie. The Bible talks about unclean spirits, lying spirits. This guy, well, whatever these entities are, they try to make the person like themselves. They try to get them to yield, say what they want them to say, think what they want them to think. But I've been delivered from the devil's influence and control. He's not my Lord. He has nothing in me, on me, over me. Jesus is my Lord. Is that what you say? Go to Galatians 5, please. Man, I could use another hour this morning. I guess I took time giving my testimony, didn't I? That's all right. The scripture said, you go into Galatians 5. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, you will know them by their fruits. By their fruits. In fact, you hold your place there in Galatians. Put up on the screen Matthew 7:15. And instead of just referring to it, let's read it. Matthew 7:15. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Now, isn't that what our text said? Well, what makes them a false prophet? Well, in many cases, it's a lying spirit. That's why some people are such what we would call good liars. They are, really, sometimes people feel bad that somebody tricked them or deceived them, but they don't realize that the influence to deceive them was beyond that natural person's ability. It was a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit. So don't be so shocked that they fooled you. They've been fooling human beings for millennia. They are quite accomplished at it. But they had to have somebody to yield their voice, right? To tell their lies. My voice is off limits to the devil. Is that right? And his craft, he can't use my mind. He can't use my mouth. He can't use my hands. He can't use my money. He can't use my new car. He can't use, can't use. Huh? No. That's a church going Corvette. Verse 16, you will know them. Now this is so significant. The text said try the spirits to see which ones of God. How will we know them? How will we know if they're a wrong spirit or right, if it's of the enemy or if it's of God? By their fruits. Now, fruits means what is produced. We say produce instead of fruit. What is produced? What is effected? It's the results of the influence. That's how you can know what kind of spirit it is. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No. Even so, a good tree, everybody say good.
Good.
A good tree would bring what kind of fruit?
Good
fruit. A corrupt tree is going to bring forth evil, or the bad is the same word for evil. Bad fruit. He's contrasting good and bad. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Right? And so we are connected to a good vine. Is that right? A good vine produces good fruit. And the Spirit who is in the vine and also in us, the branches, is the good Spirit. And He produces good fruit, good results. And a good tree cannot bring forth the evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. An evil spirit cannot produce good. Can't. And of course, the Holy Spirit would never produce something evil and bad. Verse 19, every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And that is the ultimate end for every evil spirit, Satan himself, every evil spirit, and those that have joined themselves to them and rejected God will be separated from us and all the redeemed and end up in the fire in the end. Their time is short. Their time is coming. And they know that. That's why they would cry out when they saw Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? Because they thought, well, we got a little more time. Yeah, not much. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. This is how I can try the spirits. Now in Galatians 5 and 8. I can introduce this maybe, and maybe you can come back. Matthew 5. He said, this persuasion comes not of him that calls you, next verse, a little leaven or yeast leavens the whole lump. What's he talking about? Influence. Persuasion. Every day of our life, the enemy is trying to persuade you of something wrong. His cohorts and workers are trying to convince you that a lie is true, that the truth is not true, influence you to do something wrong, think wrong, see wrong, speak wrong. And thank God we have help. We got the Holy Spirit, right? And if we'll fill ourselves with the Lord's Word, we'll recognize His activity, and like the Bible said, we are not ignorant of His devices or of His mind things. God's Word translations of verse 8 said, the arguments of the person who is influencing you do not come from the one who is calling you. He's helping them to do what our text says, try the spirits. Paul is their leader. And by the anointing and spirit in him, he's telling them, this thing that's coming from this people about this, that's wrong spirits. They're trying to influence you wrong, and their plan is to get this into a core of the church and have it spread like a disease. Right. Spread like yeast. Wow. Through the whole batch of dough. That's how many churches have had tumult, strife, wound up splitting, wound up failing, evil spirits. But now if nobody in the church would have yielded to them, nothing would have happened. It would have been like they didn't exist. They had to find somebody that would open their mouth and say all the dumb stuff. Huh? And all the wrong stuff. And post it. Huh? Put it on Facebook. Oh, I lost somebody right there, I guess. Reckon there's any evil influence stuff on social media. Whew. The bigger challenge would be finding the good influence. Verse 16. Verse 16. It says, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Now, one thing that I think many church-going people have gotten wrong is when they hear lust of the flesh, they think purely flesh and don't realize the evil influences that are influencing through the flesh. And you'll see that as we read these next verses. But how do I stop yielding to wrong influences that are influencing my flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't do the other. To do one is to be occupied so that the enemy can't occupy.
Amen.
To yield to the influences of the Holy Spirit, stop the enemy from having access to you. You can't yield to both at the same time, exactly, and you can't serve two masters. So walking in the Spirit shuts the door. As it opens the door to the Lord, it shuts the door to the enemy. Can you see that, friends? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not. It'll happen that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Keep reading. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, Spirit is capitalized here. I don't know that it should be. But the Holy Spirit is in us and helping us. So then, in that way, it is true too. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Is he describing a struggle? A conflict? Huh? One thing is trying to influence you this way. Another is trying to influence you the other way. And this is every day of our lives. What's the solution? Walk in the Spirit. Make the right choice. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And you won't do the other. And so he said, you cannot do the things that you would. Next verse. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What does that mean? Well, the same Holy Spirit that gave the law and the holy angels that gave the law to Moses and gave all these things, God's never changed. The author of the book lives inside you as a born again child of God. And if you'll listen to him and yield to him day in, day out, you will be doing the things that are revealed in the law, that were teaching people right from wrong, even if you didn't know the scripture.
Yes, sir.
He's going to lead you in the right way.
Amen.
Verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest. Now this is so important to get this part. This is not just flesh. The flesh is the weak area that these evil spirits influence through.
Come on.
If you skip down to, what's the verse where he says the fruit of the Spirit? It's just a couple of verses down. Yeah, 22. The fruit of the Spirit, by their fruits, you will know them. By what is the results of the influence. And he gives us a list of 9 things.
Yeah.
If I'm walking in the Spirit,
yeah.
I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
These will be evidences,
yes,
that I'm doing that.
Yes, sir.
That you're doing that because the good Spirit, the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit,
amen,
the Spirit of God will influence you,
amen,
to love.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He will prompt you.
Yes.
He will bring things to your remembrance, yes, about to love and the need to love and how to love.
Amen.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
He will. The Holy Spirit will bring things to you that will quicken your joy.
Yes. Amen.
Huh? He will influence you.
Yes.
He will prompt you.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever had the Holy Spirit fall on you,
yes,
and make you want to get up and dance?
Yes.
Well, that weren't no evil spirit that was trying to get you to do that. Huh? The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, this is all, does that affect your flesh?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it affects the countenance of your face. It affects how you feel in your body.
Right.
It affects, so it's not just flesh or spirit,
right.
It's both.
Yeah.
And the fruit of the Spirit, what the influence of the Spirit produces, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. The law that God said, don't do this, this is wrong, was never against these things. These things are perfect and good and right. And so the previous verse that he went, when he said the works of the flesh, that's the opposite. Can you see that? That's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. You could call it the fruit of the flesh. You could call it the fruit of evil spirits. So let's look at that. Back up to that. And verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest. Now this is what we've been saying for a while now. It's obvious. It's not hard to discern. What's the first one?
Adultery.
Hmm? How many... oh boy, how do I say this? Is the Holy Spirit influencing us to commit adultery?
No.
Never.
Never.
Ever. Right? Never has. Never will. So the, you know, Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, said there was a prayer meeting he was having one time, and this man came up to him and said, I'd like for you to agree with me on something, if you would, please. He said, the Bible said, if any two of us agree, he's touching anything, it'd be done for him. He said, well, yeah, let me know what, if I can. He said, well, I want you to agree with me that the Lord will give me brother so-and-so's wife. Well, what spirit was that?
Wrong spirit.
Manifest,
right.
Yeah. Obvious,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Do I need discerning of spirits,
no,
to see where this is coming from? I have scripture. I have scripture that says, you shall not covet your neighbor's what, right?
Amen.
So I don't have to pray about this. This is, and see, here's the thing. Yeah, but we have such feelings for each other. If you had never started texting and talking and going and having coffee and all this kind of stuff, you wouldn't have even known each other. Would have never even got, are y'all listening to it? Would have never even got started. Yeah, but we've become so close, you should have never even known each other.
Exactly right.
Huh? Are y'all okay or not?
Yeah.
Adultery, fornication, that's sex outside of covenant in all of its forms. It's flesh, but is it just flesh? No, there's spirits that are involving, suggesting, thoughts, feelings, temptings, uncleanness. That word means not pure. It means filthy. We saw in Mark 5 a couple of Sundays ago the madman of Gadara said he had an unclean spirit. And he lived out in the cemetery, in the tombs, and he was naked. He wouldn't wear clothes, and he was a cutter. He was cutting himself. And do you need a discerning of spirits to know what spirits are? No, that's evil spirits.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit never prompted you or brought a thought to you to hurt yourself, cut yourself, commit suicide or some crazy thing.
That's right.
In fact, somebody said, well, it's my body. I can do it. If you're a Christian, it is not your body. It's been bought and paid for with a price.
Yes. Yes.
Not true. But see, these wrong spirits can be very persuading. And especially when people shut up. And they're by themselves. They stay online night and day. Listening and watching to all kind of things. And they cut one of the first things the enemy will try to get to do is cut you off from a godly influence. Cut you off from going to a good church.
Yes.
Cut you off from hearing good preaching and teaching. And cut you off from being around Christian men and women. Come on, are you listening? Good friends that love God. Why? Isolate and destroy. That's the enemy's tactic. And get you to just pile up in the bed. And all you do is sit there with these dark thoughts. And let them sit on you. And meditate. That's how people become all kind of bad things. They become unstable. They become depressed. They become obsessed. Sometimes become... One of the things the enemy likes to do is bring somebody to you that's your problem. That's in your way. That's hurting you. Keeping you back from things and getting you to want to hurt them. Or come against them in some way. Lies, evil, deceiving, lying, murdering spirits. They're around, but they don't have to have any part in your life. You can shut them down. You got the greater one. You got the great name. Right? Do not yield to their thoughts and suggestions. Idolatry. There's a whole list of things there. Witchcraft is called a what? Work of the flesh. Now see, people would think, well, no, that's spiritual. It is. But it's also a work of the flesh. Why? Because you have to have some fleshy tendencies to even get into it. There has to be something the enemy can pull on to lure you into it. If you look up the word, it has to do with drugs. One of the main meanings, I know that sounds strange, of witchcraft is drugs. And drug magic. And spells. And potions. And again, what's all of it about? Get people out of their head. Out of their awareness and consciousness, make them pliable to yielding to wrong things they don't even understand.
Wow.
That means no more seances.
Amen.
Huh? No more Ouija boards. Come on, are you with me or not? Christians got no reason to be involved. No more getting your palm read. Or come on, are y'all with me? No. Why would the living seek counsel among the dead? And when you got the living God that you can go to who knows everything about everything, why in the world would you go to some little dark, stinky shop and sit down and let somebody lie to you and try to take your money? Come on, somebody say, I am not that dumb. I am not that. All right. You better bring yourself to church. That's where you come to church. Hatred. Is the Holy Spirit dealing with you to hate people?
No.
Certainly not. Variance. That means quarreling, wrangling, fussing, fighting. You'll see the word strife here later too. God is not the author of confusion. And James says, where you see envy and strife, you'll see every evil work. I mean, you can feel it. If somebody had just been brawling and fighting with each other, even when they've quit, you walk into the room, you can feel it in the room. Can't you? Well, what are you feeling? What is that? Wrong spirits. They've been yielding to them. Now you got feelings, you got emotions. You can get mad, you can get upset, but get a hold of yourself. And sometimes you need to catch yourself in mid sentence and say, "Let me tell you one thing." God loves you. I love you. And I'm gonna go pray somewhere. I'm gonna go. Right?
Amen.
You can catch yourself.
Yes.
Isn't that better? How many know? No child of God should be cussing somebody out.
Yes.
Ever. That would be yielding to a wrong spirit. Now here's the thing that sometimes folks haven't understood. A child of God can yield to the Holy Spirit in the morning and a wrong spirit in the afternoon. Doesn't mean you're possessed. Just means you yielded to something wrong. Do you remember Peter?
Yes.
On one occasion, Peter said, Jesus said to the disciples, "Who are people saying I am?" One said this, one they said that. Peter said, "You're the Son of God. You're the Christ." And the Lord said, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Then where did he get it? Spirit." Right? That came to him from the spiritual influence of the Holy Spirit. And he received it, believed it, and said it. Can you see this? So this was a good spiritual influence, a right spiritual influence, and he yielded to the right thing, and that's good. But then later on, I mean the same chapter,
yep.
A few verses down, Jesus is telling them about how he's going to the cross, about how he's going to be scourged and judged and mocked and crucified. And Peter, now you got to watch, you know, if you've been right one time, now you think you're the man, you know. Jesus told everybody Peter heard from God. He's like, "Yes, I did. I heard from the, you heard Jesus? He said it himself. I heard from God." Yeah, but pride goes before a kawham, a fall. And so when Jesus said that, Peter gets Jesus and says, "Come over here, come over here." He takes Jesus aside and said, No, Lord, this shall not be to you. Pity yourself. One translation said, this is not right. This thing about you dying and all that stuff. And Jesus pushed him back and said, "Satan, get behind me." What? Did Peter become Satan? No, but what he was saying came right from the devil.
That's right.
Huh? And Peter didn't have enough realization and awareness to know, "Shut up, boy. It's not for you to pull the master aside and teach him, school him." Are you kidding? Right? And you can see that when people are yielding by wrong influences, they get to the place where they don't realize how far out of line they are. They have overstepped their place. They are saying and doing things that are disrespectful. And they have lost track. Why? They started yielding to a wrong thing. And when you keep going with that, it gets worse and worse and worse. So he yielded to the Holy Spirit that morning and to the devil that afternoon. Doesn't mean he's lost. Just means he messed up. He made a mistake. We're not going to judge him.
No. Amen.
And there's no need when you get to heaven and see him, don't bring it up. Just don't. Don't bring it up. Because that'll be all. All things have passed away. Is that right? He goes through the list. variance, emulations, wrath. And that describes, you know, out of control, rage, and strife, seditions, division, and breaking off into little groups, heresies, little sects and parties, self-willed opinions, envyings. The enemy never dealt with you to be envious of somebody and be upset because they got something that you want. Excuse me, the Holy Spirit never tried to influence. That was always the enemy. If you care about people, you rejoice if something good happened for them. Murders, drunkenness, and that's what we talked about. It's the enemy that keeps pushing people to get just out of their head. So they will say and do things that they wouldn't have done. Sober and normally, well, who's influencing? And then revelings, carousal, you know, which is the result of being drunk or high, just no restraint, no control, and that's when a lot of bad things happen. In fact, a lot of people are dead that still should be alive because they just went crazy one night and it all went wrong and they're no longer with us. Nope. We have the Holy Spirit, the good Spirit, and He is influencing us, and we're going to yield to Him and give the devil no place. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift up your hands. Give thanks. Give praise to the Lord. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. 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 Phyllis, would you please come and close for us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we're all in your presence in here today. And we just want to pray over each and every person that's in here today. If they don't know you, Father, we lift them up to you. Father, I just pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice. And deal with their hearts now, Father, that if they don't know you, that they have an opportunity to know you. They're in here today and they came into your presence, Father. Deal with their hearts. We want to give them an opportunity to get to be with you, Father, so that they could know the difference between your spirit and these other spirits, Father. Spirits that would take them down wrong paths in their lives, Father. We want them to be able to have the good life that you have prepared for them. So if you're in here today, or if you're watching on the internet, or if you're in Branson, and you don't know the Lord, you don't know that you know the difference between these spirits, the spirit that God would have you to yield to, or other spirits, and you want to confess Jesus as the Lord of your life today, just raise your hand in here today. We want to pray with you so that you can accept the Lord. I see that hand. If you're in here today and you want to come to Jesus for the first time and know that you know that He is the Lord of your life, lift your hand up high. I see that hand. Anywhere else in here today, if you're in here today and you want to come back to the Lord, you've known the Lord before, but you've gotten away from Him. And Keith's been talking about these harassing spirits that have pulled you away from the Lord. And you knew Him one time, but you got away from Him. And you let other people and other situations pull you away from the Lord. And you've not been serving Him like you know you should. You got back to doing things that you knew was wrong for you. But you want to give Him your whole heart again and begin to serve Him and give Him first place in your life. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. If that's you, just raise your hand in here today. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that one in the back. I see that one over here. You're in the right place today. The Lord loves you. And he already paid the price for you. You don't have to pay another moment doing what the devil wants you to do and doing without the blessings of the Lord in your life. So one more time, if you're in here today and you want to come back to the Lord, or you want to get to know him for the very first time in your life and get all the joy and all the love and all the blessings he has in store for you. If that's you in here today, just lift your hand up real high. There's already been a bunch of hands. Just lift your hand up real high in this place today. I see that hand. Just lift it up real high. I see this one right here. Just lift it up real high. Well, if you lifted your hand in here today, I personally want to pray with you today. I want to join my faith with yours. The Lord said, if you're not ashamed of me, I will never, ever, ever be ashamed of you. And we've got believers in here all around you. They want to rejoice with you. So if you lifted your hand in here today, just take a step out. They're going to sing and come up here and join me. And I'm going to pray with you today. So come on up here with me this morning.
Come to Jesus.